This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning, we're talking lawns and gardens. We're talking about farmers market. We're talking about a lot of fun things that come along with this time of the year. And visiting with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service, Extension Agent Janie Becker. Hey, Janie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Good to have you with us today.
Nice to be here.
Beautiful day. A little bit cool.
It really is. But it's spring, right?
Yeah, it is spring. It was interesting this morning hearing, and you're probably into all of this being in the agricultural area. I'd never heard of this before, about how they had brought helicopters into the Arrington community last night and were hovering over the Arrington vineyards, keeping the crops from freezing, and they were there hovering until 7 this morning.
Right. If we were in the Florida area, we would be much more familiar with that phenomenon, because they do that a lot in those large citrus orchards when they have some sudden or drastic freezes. Mm-hmm. At a critical time, it can mean a crop failure. So this is the critical time, really. They've already leafed out a little early, and a lot of damage can be done.
Now that we're seeing this happening at the Arrington Vineyards, do you think we're going to start seeing farmers bringing in helicopters?
I'm thinking most people don't have that budget, but the sprinklers were on a lot of farms last night, I can tell you that.
Sprinklers keep that from happening?
Do the same. Well, the same way that helicopters can kind of move the air to the side, some folks use sprinklers to add a thin layer of ice, and that gives a little bit of insulative protection to leaves. So, you know, some plants can handle just a little bit of cold temperature, but not up in the upper 20s where some areas got last night. So that little bit of ice gives them a little bit of a blanket and keeps them from dropping cooler.
So if you have a watering system at your home, you could turn the water on a night that it's supposed to freeze.
You might want to do that on a especially valuable section of your lawn. Maybe you've got a lot of azaleas that are just, you know, brand new leaves, and they're going to suffer. I know I lost all the crepe myrtle leaves in my yard from the last couple nights' freezes. You got to focus where you've got a lot of investment, but that is one way to protect your crops.
One of our neighbors has a built-in system that they dug a well to feed it, which obviously they've already invested their money, and it doesn't cost any more to put that water out.
Right.
So I guess they could just turn that on over the entire lawn.
They could, but the lawn's not going to be harmed. The grass itself is not going to be harmed. It's going to be things that have really, really tender leaves. A lot of our broadleaf trees can handle frost easily in the fall, but when their leaves are just a couple of days old, maybe a week old, they're not tough and hardened yet.
You know, we were getting phone calls over the past month or so. People had already been putting in tomatoes and things like that. And I think Mitchell had said, you know, it's right around tax time that the official freeze date is. And you know, here we are. What is this, the 12th?
Right. We're not even there yet.
No, but we are getting a frost.
Right. We've gotten substantial frost. So if you didn't have your tomatoes protected, you could have very well lost some.
Well, the big news of the day, we're getting close to the farmer's market. Tell us about that.
We are just under a month away from the farmer's market. It opens on Friday, May 11th this year. We have a new schedule. We've moved up an hour so you can get a little bit more sleep, and we'll be open from 7 a.m. until 12 noon on Tuesdays and Fridays.
You just made a lot of people happy, I think.
Well, I'm excited, too. I'm looking forward to it as much as many.
7 a.m. until noon, starting Friday, May the 12th, and that's every Tuesday and Friday, 7 a.m. until noon.
That's right.
Farmers Market. And I understand there's some new ways you're doing things this year.
Right. We've been working closely with MTSU. They're helping us with some promotional campaigns and with allowing us to be able to accept EBT, debit, and credit at the market, which we hope will be a big boost to both customers and our producers to give more options, both purchasing power and to make more off their hard work.
Now, will there be a central point where you use your credit card, debit cards, or EBT cards?
That'll be just how it works. There'll be a spot where you swipe your card, and we'll actually work on a token system. So whatever you charge on whatever card you have, you'll receive a token that is specific to that type of payment. And then you can use those tokens at every vendor in the market, and then the vendors will then change them in for money later.
Okay, so
it'll be a little bit fun too. It'll be you get a little wooden coins to use at the market that are only good at the market too. So,
and these are not for your children to play with because they are money.
They are real money, real money at the market. So, and they could be collector's items. They could be gift certificates. Yeah. We're trying to dream high.
Why not? Down the road, people will be collecting them here in Rutherford County.
Right.
893-1450 is our number. If you have a lawn or a garden question, we're opening up the phone lines right now. And Janie has answers for you dealing with lawns, gardens, whatever you might be working on. 893-1450. She might even have some information about hummingbirds. And while we're talking, we already have had some hummingbird sightings, so we know they're in the area. What's the best thing to do?
How do you attract them?
Yeah.
Well, having the nectar source is the crucial thing. They do like feeders. That's the easiest way to attract hummingbirds is to have a simple sugar solution in one of those specially designed hummingbird feeders. The thing that will get them to the yard the fastest is if you have flowering plants that they're naturally drawn to. So some of your trumpet vines. They like reds and oranges and really brightly hot-colored flowers that have a deep throat to them. So coral honeysuckle is a good one. Trumpet vine is a good one. There's lots of little red flowers that are marketed for hummingbirds especially, but they can't resist them.
Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today?
I'm fine.
Good.
Good morning to y'all.
Good morning.
I wanted to ask you a question, Janie, about collard greens. Do you know... think you could answer me one on that?
I can do my best.
Okay. I've got several plants that they've been getting established now. This is the second year, and they're in a raised bed, so this week I'd send them out to, like my little book says, and I probably have maybe 8 or 10 of them there, which is plenty. But what I want to know, it tells you in the information to always leave the top leaves, just eat the bottom leaves.
That's right.
So I understand that, but now they have blossomed out on the top the way turnip greens do. Can I pinch off those flowers?
You can, and for some greens like that, you might take a bite of them and see if you like the way they taste.
Okay, well, I know it's that way with turnip greens. One time somebody told me that. Okay, well,
right.
That's what...
if you cut back the flowers, just like with most any flowering plant, it'll keep it from going to seed and keep it from turning bitter just a little bit longer.
Okay.
It'll eventually turn bitter no matter what you do, but if you can keep the flowers back, it'll help.
Okay. And I did have a little thin coating of ice on my bird bath. I didn't know any ice was out there until I looked out this morning and the little goldfinch couldn't get their water. So I went out and sure enough, it was frozen over. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks Bye-bye. For calling. Have a good day. 893-1450, that opens a line for you this morning. 893-1450, we're talking lawns and gardens and birds and all sorts of things. Honey, anybody, is there a trend in people starting their own beehives and growing, not growing.
Raising.
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 Let me grow some honey over here.
I mean, there's some different terminology with it, yeah. But there is. It's with all the local foods, home foods movement, there are a lot of people who are starting beekeeping, and there is a Rutherford County Beekeeping Association that folks can look into and join. They'd be happy to have more members.
Just give the folks at the Ag Center a call. And
we'd be happy to get you in touch with them.
Okay. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker.
Yes, I have a question. I've heard people say not to cover your flowers and things up if it's going to frost with plastic. But my flowers are so small, if I put something on there, it's just going to fold them over, and they kind of stand straight up. So what will the plastic do to them if I use it? I mean, sometimes I try to tuck it up to where it's not touching the plant.
Mm-hmm. Well, any barrier you give them overnight will provide a little bit of insulation. It'll keep some of that heat around the plant. The big issue would be that you need to make sure and remove whatever it is that you put over the plant. Plastic would be especially the case because air doesn't get through there, and you get kind of a greenhouse effect. If you use a sheet or something, that the heat will dissipate that when the sun hits it in the morning. But with plastic, it just kind of sits in there and might cook your plant the next day. So,
okay. No, I take it off early the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
But my son was. They said that the plastic would like. I thought it was if the water the dew got to it that would.
It'll cause some. It'll have some extra condensation for that extra because it the air doesn't move through plastic.
Uh-huh.
But if that's the best you got, then it's better than nothing to give them
better
a little bit of insulation.
Okay.
But old sheets work great.
Okay. All right. Then that's what I need to know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a great day. Thanks for calling. 893-1450. That's the number to call. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie. How are you today?
Janie, this is Charlie Pitts. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. I've got a tomato plant. It's about 2 foot tall. And I get it in a great big pot. I bought it at Home Depot. It's got tomatoes on it now, about as big as tennis balls.
Good for you.
I drug it inside my shop last night, and I think I saved it last night. And I've got snowball bushes. Do you think it killed my snowball bushes?
Do you think the frost hurts snowballs? Probably not too much, but you'll be able to tell. You should be able to tell by lunch today if it affected them.
And we got a new brand new baby horse born on the farm here. I've got pleasure horses,
mm-hmm.
And it's a little Cremello. I don't know if you heard of a Cremello or not. They have blue eyes. And Mr. McFidley out on the Halls Hill Pike had the stallion, and the stallion passed away shortly after it bred my mare. And I've got a brand new baby foaled on the farm. Got blue eyes. Palomino looks just like Roy Rogers' horse with blue eyes.
Ooh, that sounds
good. So anybody wants to come and view the horse, it's here. It's just a few days old. It's just beautiful. And I've got flowers, and I've got iris. Probably the iris are dead. But I'm going to drag my tomato plant back outside about lunch today. I'll probably have the first tomatoes in Murfreesboro.
It sounds like you already have them, John.
They hadn't turned red yet. They'll turn red here in a few days. But I will beat that July. Usually they have tomatoes in July.
Uh-huh. I think you've got competition this year because so many people have started early, but you seem well on your way.
That's right.
Call us back when you get those first red tomatoes. That'll be nice
to
hear.
Thank you. I'll hang up and listen to you. I love your show.
Thank you, Charlie. You have a good day.
Y'all too.
Bye-bye. So, let's see. Weather-wise, for tomorrow, it's going to be in the 70s. Oh, yeah. He can take that back out.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We don't have any more frost in the forecast for the extended forecast
for next few days. Anyway.
Right. You know, we've had frost. We've had frost the first week of May, so there's just no telling, really.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker.
Yes, I got another question. On the tomato plants, are you supposed to pinch the flowers off the first ones that come in?
It's not gonna hurt to do that. It might give you a little bit of extra growth in other areas of the plant.
Uh-huh.
And there's a long list of methods that some people swear by, but I don't spend that time.
Well, I didn't know. Someone had told me about it a long time ago, but I didn't remember what was behind it, so I just thought I'd ask.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks
right,
for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. By the way, if you're going to be putting out anything that needs water, I will, while we were talking to Charlie a little while ago about the temperature and everything, I was looking ahead, and starting on Monday and Tuesday, we're going to have rain. Temperature still in the 70s. Mm-hmm. So if you have some things that say put this out just before it rains, or you need to water this after you put this out, right, it's a good time to do it and let Mother Nature.
Right. Some granular fertilizers and, mm-hmm, and pesticides of various sort need that. So that's a good point.
Now, are we too late to do the pre-emergence for weeds and what have you in the lawns?
No, you're not. You're not. There's a lot of summer annuals that have not yet germinated, and then will continue to germinate. So you can put them in your lawns. You can put them on mulch areas, and still have good success.
Okay, our phone number is 893-1450. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning, and everybody is thinking spring. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the spring things that you could be doing in just a moment. We're going to check right now, though, on the latest traffic and the weather forecast right here on WGNS. And if you have a question, call quickly, 893-1450. We have one line open. It has your name on it, so fill it in,
893-1450.
The die is cast with Phil Dye, weekday mornings and afternoons, and Saturday afternoons for an hour at 12:30 on WGNS AM/FM online.
Strap into a 2012 Ford Escape at Ford of Murfreesboro. Get up to $2,650 cash back or finance at unbelievable rates like 0% for up to 60 months. Price excludes tax, title, and registration and $499 dealer fee. The offer expires April 30th. Ford of Murfreesboro is your home to the brand new 2012 Ford Escape. Visit Ford of Murfreesboro today on Broad Street at the intersection of Northfield Boulevard and online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. At Bell Jewelers, we buy directly from our diamond source in Israel. Our long-standing relationship with our diamond cutter means we get to select from the best offerings first and pass the savings on to our customers. There's nothing like the sparkle of a Bell Jewelers diamond. Stop in soon and see for yourself.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots.
Play it again, sports!
Your baseball and softball headquarters.
Whether it's bats, gloves, pants, or training aids, we've got a great selection to get you on the diamond this summer. Name brands like Easton, Louisville Slugger, and Worth. But at Played Against Sports Prices, we're on Thompson Lane.
Good morning once again. We had an accident earlier on I-24 westbound around Hickory Hollow Parkway. That is in the clearing stages, but still very slow through there. Meanwhile, in Rutherford County, we're looking at 04 Parkway at Chaffin, 04 Parkway at Kaysen Lane with still very busy traffic. I-24 at 96, I-24 at 231, also still very busy. Heads Up Hair Salon is Nashville's original walk-in salon, family-oriented for over 30 years. They're open early and late in 9 different Middle Tennessee locations. Log on to HeadsUpHaircuttingSalon.com. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. Let's take a look now at that Murfreesboro weather, brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Through the forecast area today, sunny skies, a high of 63 with a light east wind around 5. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, low of 41. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Currently, 36.
This is Freedom Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, see Becky Walker or Jonathan Bolden at First National Mortgage Services, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, an equal housing lender.
Look up in the sky. There it is, the tallest tower in Murfreesboro. This is WGNS, FM, AM, and worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. We are talking lawns and gardens. 893-1450, that's the number to call to get on the air with us if you have a lawn or a garden question. And let's go back to the phones. Good morning, you're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today? Hello there. Hi. Okay, the cat had their tongue. I hope it didn't hurt them. 893-1450 is our number. Try again, and don't be bashful. 893-1450, we're talking lawns and gardens this morning. And as you look back over the past week, Janie, what is the main call that you have gotten so far? Is there anything that seems to stand out?
I've had a number of calls about the webbing that you're seeing in various trees this mm-hmm. time of year. Sometimes in the forks of different branches of branches of different trees, you'll see some webbing, and you start to notice a lot of these little hairy caterpillars wandering around. Those are eastern tent caterpillars, and I've had probably four or five calls related to those this week.
What can we do about them? Well, or should we worry about them?
Well, they can defoliate some trees. Most things will come back after they chew on them, but they'll attack a lot of roses and various ornamental bushes. You can use some systemic herbicides. You can use an organic option for BT will affect them as well. So there's several options. You can give us a call for more details.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing fine.
Hey, I'm going back down memory lane. When I was a child growing up on a farmhouse, my mother had the biggest and beautiful peonies. And now that I'm not a child anymore, I'm kind of wanting to do the same thing for my grandkids. I want some big, beautiful peonies that will be around. It seems like the older they get, the more mature and the bigger and the more healthy they are. And I'm wanting to know what I need to do to get them started, whether I can buy them at Walmart or whether I need to go to a greenhouse and get some good ones. But I'm wanting some nice, big, colorful peonies.
Well, now is the time to look for them, because the retailers like to sell them when they're pretty and looking good. I can't give you a selection of just who all has them, but they are out and about this year. I've seen them at a few places, some of the main home centers around. Not sure if Valley Growers at the co-op has them, but I've seen a few this year. The trick to getting them to be big in those gorgeous shrub-like peony bushes you see this time of year is to not move them. They don't like to be moved. They like to stay in one spot and get as big a roots as possible. And if they're planted at the right depth and in a happy location, they'll just get thicker and more blooms every year.
Do I need to put them in potting soil or just plant the bulbs down in just regular ground?
Well, it's a rhizome. It's a rhizome, and you don't want to put it. You want to put it about where it was in the pot when you get it. You can get them bare, just the bare rhizome, or you can get them in a pot. You're more likely to see them in a pot around here, probably, and you'd want to put them in the ground just where at the soil line they were in the pot, and you'll probably have good results.
Should I put it in low elevation where they get more water, or higher elevation where they don't get as much water?
They're kind of a middle-of-the-road plant, but they do like full sun, or a minimum of 6-7 hours a day. And good drainage. I wouldn't put them in a mucky area of the lawn, but not the driest spot either. So just kind of a middle, average location.
Okay, super good. Thank you so much for the information.
You're
good
welcome.
Luck to you on that.
Thank you.
And so you put them right at soil level, almost like like an iris.
No, I don't mean that. I just mean that the soil. Where the soil stands in your pot, you want to keep that consistent when you put it in the ground.
Oh, okay.
The rhizome will be about 2 inches, inch and a half, 2 inches below that soil line.
Okay.
And it needs to keep that a very consistent moisture level and so on at this critical time when it's leafing out in the spring.
Now, you mentioned that it's really important to leave it in the same place and let the root system get good and strong.
Right.
How long does that take?
Well, it depends on it.
I mean, should he do anything? Should he put in mulch or anything in the soil to sort of give it looseness so the roots could go out more?
No, I wouldn't recommend that. Whatever, if you do buy a potted plant, that's about all the soil amendment that you'd want to add. You wouldn't want to add any extra organic material because you want it to get used to the environment that it's going to be growing in all those years.
Mm-hmm.
Once they are big and really well grown, then you could divide them if you wanted, but they'll take a couple years for them to kind of readjust and be all that they were again. But they like to stay put.
Yeah, it sounds like you're better off just leaving it alone. Don't divide. Just let it grow.
Well, at a point, you might want to spread them share them with your neighbors. But this is talking 7-8 years down the road, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said it needs sunlight. Are you looking at a place similar to where you would put a tomato plant? I mean, because they really like sun.
They do. Peonies can handle morning sun.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't put them somewhere that they are just in the driest, sunniest spot of your yard. But they're one that you see a lot on the eastern side of houses. Maybe a little bit on the southeastern side. They do like a warm soil.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a rugged condition. Tomatoes can handle that as long as they've got water. Peonies can handle a good bit of a shade.
Okay. 893-1450 is our number. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. 893-1450. And are we at a logical time? I know we've talked a lot about doing soil tests in the yard, in the gardens, what have you, to see what is needed. Mm-hmm. Are we at a time where that's still logical, or is this beyond?
It's not too late. It's not too late at all. We're still getting a lot of samples in. And, in some years, people are just now starting to work in their gardens. So we're definitely not too late to amend and fertilize what's missing.
I guess you're never too late to find out really what you have to work
with. It's mm-hmm. a year-round activity. And there's no reason why you can't find out in the middle of the summer and add something that's a quick fertilizer or know what you need to do for the next year.
And that's the only way that you really can know. I mean, somebody will come along and say, well, you would have grass if you put lime in, or you. They don't know that.
No, they don't. Lime is heavily, heavily applied in this area when most often the recommendation doesn't require it. So mm-hmm. it's best to check and save some money.
Very definitely. Oh, let me ask you a question. Do you want a picture-perfect lawn this year? It all starts with using the best grass seed available. Bonide is using the best varieties of grass seed available today for their DuraTurf grass seed mix. And when you start using Bonide's high traffic and heat and drought grass seed, this is a mix, you'll have a deep rooting lawn that requires less water, therefore will save you money in water bills, and will resist the harsh summer heat and sun. Bonide's DuraTurf grass. This is a mixing of seeds. It's disease and insect resistant, and it grows in poor soil. You'll get all the benefits along with having a naturally durable dark green lawn. Oh, sounds beautiful. When planting grass seed, always use Bonide's Lawn Seed Starter Fertilizer to get your seed to establish quickly and healthily to ensure that picture-perfect lawn. You can get the Bonide grass seed right now at the Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church. They have it at the Co-op. They also have it at Martin's Home and Garden. You need to check that place out. Martin's Home and Garden. They're on right there on Broad, across from Demas Restaurant. Ask for Bonide's grass seed, heat and drought, the high traffic one. Yeah, you can't miss it. That sounds pretty good. Dark green, doesn't use much water.
It does. I'm not a lawn specialist, but that does sound ideal.
It sounds like a dream come true.
It does. Makes you wonder.
Yeah. 893-1450. Didn't somebody at one point grow or create some kind of grass that wouldn't grow too tall and almost where you could not have to mow it too much?
There are some varieties that are specially made for minimal mowing. But I
wonder if that works.
Well,
of course, some people enjoy mowing the yard.
Right. Some people, that's why they have got a lawn.
893-1450 is our number. 893-1450. Did any of you hear the helicopters last night over in the Arrington area? Now, we were talking about that earlier on the program, about how that was brought in, the helicopters were brought in, hovering above the grapes to keep them from freezing. Mm-hmm. And you said that that's pretty common practice in Florida.
It is. When you've got a huge crop at risk, you bring out the big guns or the big helicopters, as it were, and try to keep some of that cold air from settling on your farm. One thing to think about with frost is if you've got a windy, breezy night, you're much less likely to have frost because that air is constantly moving and it's not settling on the humidity is not settling on your plant and freezing on the surface of your leaf, your flower, your fruits. So that's the idea behind keeping that helicopter moving the air around.
They wouldn't have to bring a special helicopter in. I guess anyone would create enough. Is it just the wind? Is that what they're...
Any helicopter I've been around is it? we'll do it.
A giant fan.
Right.
So I wonder, it sounded like they had a few up there. I mean, more than one.
Well, from the size of their vineyard, I would say they'd need to have a few every... I don't know how mm-hmm. large of a range their breeze would create, but yeah, they've got a big vineyard out there.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today? Okay. Didn't get that one. 893-1450. Try again. 893-1450. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. And if you have a question or a comment, give us a call. We've had Jack last week, I guess it was, called in and said that he had already spotted some hummingbirds, mm-hmm. so that gives us some, you know, good news that they are in, at least the scouts, I guess.
Right.
What do the scouts come along, and then do they have to fly back and tell the rest of the flock, hey, it's okay?
Well, they're on their way up from Mexico and South America when they get the weather signal, so they're the family's en route, and so yeah. they do start to send some. From what I understand, they do start to send a few scouts, but it's more or less the flow hasn't all gotten here when there's just a few of them.
So when we start seeing them regularly, is that a sign that spring and summer are really here now? I mean, do they have an extra sense to them that lets them know no more freeze?
I would definitely say they have an extra sense to them, but it's not foolproof. I wouldn't say, but yeah, I mean they're more in tune with the weather than we are down on the ground. So mm-hmm. I'd say birds are a good indicator, but of course they can be surprised too. So I'll have to check with some of my ornithologist friends and get more information on that.
Hey, do any of you have any information about these crows? We seem to be getting a larger population of crows. I was reading something that was talking, there had been some studies on crows, and they're smarter than the average bird, it
said.
They are. It said they have the ability to think through and do a little reasoning mm-hmm. where most birds don't. You could put them in a maze-type situation, and they will figure things out and remember and go back and do it again where most birds.
Right. They've been trained for several different tasks, and their brain to body size is very, the ratio is very high.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's tried to outsmart them around their cherry tree or their garden knows that it takes a lot to fool a crow. They'll figure a trick out in a matter of hours and ignore whatever you've used to scare them or deter them in other ways.
So all this noise that they're making fun of us, probably.
Oh, probably. I'm sure it's a big joke.
So if you have a good crow story, and we seem to be really seeing a lot of those right now. Mm-hmm. Of course, they're with us all year, aren't they?
They are. They're a perennial bird species in this area. There was actually, a couple years ago, there were some declines in crows, and the West Nile virus was hitting them pretty hard, the virus that was carried by mosquitoes uh-huh. and still is in the warm times of the year. Crows and a few other different types of large black birds were being affected by West Nile heavily. So
now, we're hearing a lot about potential mosquito problems this year. Mm-hmm.
I've already been bitten a few times.
Have you really?
I have, so... I see them in my water tanks. They're already, you can see the larvae in the water already. So if you do have open water areas, ponds or water troughs, or if you have rain barrels, you should look into getting some mosquito dunks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the granular material that's got a bacterium in there that will eat the mosquito larvae on the water surface.
Does it do pretty well?
It does. It does. It works very well. I use it throughout the summer in all my water areas.
How often do you have to put it in? I mean, does you throw in one and that last all summer or what?
No, I generally apply it every 2 weeks or so.
Oh, okay.
And just the amount they come in little water soluble packets, but if you've got a smaller area you can divide those packets up and just sprinkle it on the top, and it will dissolve and really do it, do a lot to help.
Mm-hmm. We've also talked, because mosquitoes are a nuisance and dangerous, too, especially mm-hmm. with the West Nile virus. But in great numbers, they're a real nuisance. We've talked about the bat boxes. We've talked about the purple martin houses. Touched a little bit on the little guineas.
Mm-hmm.
Do they do much? Somebody said that they are better known for fleas and ticks, but do guineas do anything with mosquitoes?
I'm sure they eat them when they eat anything that they can get to. I've got guineas and I love them. So they're known especially for getting ticks, because ticks are hanging out on the grass, which is right at eye level for guineas.
Yeah.
So they, I think they generally would prefer things that are just kind of sitting prey, little bugs in the weeds and grass, but. I'm sure they would not turn one down if it stood still long enough for them to grab it.
How many guineas do you need to do an effective job around a yard?
It just depends on the space you've got, and I'm not claiming their effectiveness. I just know that they do eat bugs, and they will eat ticks and all the other. They will eat those things too. I'm not saying that they will rid you of them, but I don't know, as many as you can tolerate. They are kind of noisy.
That's what somebody said, that they're sort of like a watchdog.
They are. Only in my house, they tend to get upset when you leave, not when somebody shows up. So it's kind of ineffective. But one good point, if you do want and you live out in the country and your neighbors don't mind, you could have guineas, and they don't scratch in your garden and your beds like chickens do. Chickens will just destroy a flower bed or a garden. Guineas don't. They don't. They will make little dust bowls here and there, but they don't. They're not going to tear up your flowers like chickens will.
What about peacocks? You used to see those around a lot, and I've heard some disparaging words from some folks about peacocks. Mm-hmm. Are they good to have? Or are they?
Well, if you like them, they're good to have.
That sounds like a prejudiced comment there.
Well, no, I think they're beautiful birds.
If you
birds.
Like those things.
They're beautiful birds, and if you've got the space for them, that they make a louder noise than just about any of them. But they're
scary sounding.
It's a pretty traumatic noise when it comes out. But a bigger bird comes a bigger bird mess, too. So
Hadn't thought about
that.
Yeah,
they can leave their signs all over your yard, but they are beautiful lawn birds if you enjoy them, and I think they are beautiful.
I remember there was a restaurant in Nashville that was in the back of a cemetery, it was a good restaurant, and we would go there pretty often, and they had peacocks.
Mm-hmm.
And at nighttime,
that's eerie.
To be in the back of a cemetery hearing a peacock, weird.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like somebody's screaming for help.
It does. There used to be over by on Kaysen Lane and 96 on Kaysen Lane there. Now there's a beer store there, but by the Kroger, for a while there was someone, I think they had ostriches and peacocks, and you would hear these blood-curdling screams, only to find out that they were large birds.
Yeah, but I was trying to find a sound of a peacock so people could hear that.
Oh, dear. That's about it. And then the complete silence around it can really startle you to no end.
That's not exactly what I remembered. I guess that could be it, but it was more like a...
They can scream more, and it can be more... Sometimes it's not that repeated sound. It's just this one long one that doesn't sound natural.
A little spooky sounding. Uh-huh. Any of you have peacocks? And somebody, I didn't realize they could fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah, they can fly, and they some people don't know that train, that long tail that they show up, that takes many years. Those are several years old. They don't show up with that from the start. That takes a while for them to develop all that
now,
extra
is that
plumage.
The male?
The males have that extra showy plumage.
Okay. Do they get along well with other animals? They're bigger than cats.
Oh, yes.
So they don't have a problem there, I don't guess.
I think they'll tangle with most anything that they don't agree with. But I've never owned them myself. But they're pretty formidable characters, the ones I've come across.
We're going to pause for just a moment. If any of you have peacocks, or if you have had peacocks, call us. 893-1450, 893-1450. Also, if you've had success with bat boxes to attract bats, did they really get rid of the mosquitoes? 893-1450. And the guinea man, are you listening? How is the world of guineas doing? Give us a call. 893-1450. Janie has guineas, and she says they don't make a lot of noise when you come, but they hate to see you go. We'll be right back.
Kept keeping me awake ever since you found yourself in someone else's arms. I've been trying my best to get along, but that's okay, there's nothing left to say. But take your records, take your freedom, take your memories, I don't need them. Take your space and take your reasons, but you'll think of me.
He's optimistic and hopeful about the future of Rutherford County. He's Truman Jones. Hear the Truman Show weekdays at 2 right here on WGNS AM and FM.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
People ask me, how does Perry Bell sell first quality name brand furniture about half price every day at Bell Furniture? He's learned that if you buy in trailer truckload quantities, you save money. And then instead of making the displays look like a decorator magazine, he puts it all in one big room. That saves money too. Plus, it's only Perry Bell and Linda Ferris there. The overhead is down. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Through the forecast area today, sunny skies, a high of 63 with a light east wind around 5. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, low of 41. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Currently, 36.
We have it here at the co-op. From gardening to gift to animal health products to your pet needs, we have it here at the co-op. Bugs are definitely going to be a problem this season, and we have anything you need as far as your lawn to use in your home and also for those animals.
And for mosquitoes, I understand you have bat boxes.
Bats eat a lot of mosquitoes because mosquitoes are going to be bad this year. This is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Come and give us a visit.
They're on Middle Tennessee Boulevard just off South Church.
Some of you said, we can't hear you. We fixed that. Now with more power on FM 100.5 and increased streaming at WGNSradio.com.
Beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. It's true.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. If you have a comment this morning or if you have a question, lawns and gardens, that's our focus. Bat boxes, guineas, a little bit of everything, even a few crow stories. 893-1450 is the number. 893-1450. There was something in the news about horses and slaughtering horses or something. Why would that be a law that they're making? Are you familiar with that?
I'm trying to remember what that is.
It's this week they were talking about it in the General Assembly, looking at some new legislation dealing with...
allowing the slaughter of horses. For meat.
I'm not sure.
I think part of it is horses kind of fall into that in some many cultures, they do use horses for a food source, and I think it's a cultural issue
in
this area.
So are they looking at that now for food?
I'm not sure if it's for human consumption or for other animals, but it's a touchy subject in this area where we're in thick in horse country, and people may not like the idea of that, but. That's what you're talking about. I never could really understand what it was.
I was thinking glue and stuff like that. I don't understand why horses are used for glue, but
they have bones like so many. I mean, that's what they make glue out of parts of the bone of the chemical structure of a bone. You've got the cow on the face of Elmer's.
So cows are used for glue too.
Right.
So Elmer's is that the cow didn't just happen to be there.
The glue factory is a little more sinister than you thought.
The rest of the story.
Right.
So. That's interesting. I learned something new just by listening this morning. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you?
Okay. You doing okay?
Doing great. Thank you.
Good morning.
I've done asked y'all this question once or twice, but since she's on there, I want to ask her what. Ask her this question.
And maybe we'll get a different answer.
If it's any way possible, maybe she can give me some kind of answer on it.
Okay.
Jet tomatoes.
Jetstar?
Did
you say jet?
Jetstar?
Uh-huh.
I want to see if it, they say they get 60 gallons off of one jet tomato. How far off am I?
60 gallons off of one?
Yes, sir.
That's an awful lot of tomatoes. That is a productive cultivar. It's got a lot of disease resistance bred into it.
Yes.
But I'm saying that I'm thinking that's a phenomenal.
They say 60 gallons. The closest I got to 60 gallons, I got about 10.
Uh huh. I think that's more what you might expect.
Yes, ma'am.
And I bet you cared for it pretty well too to get that.
Yes, ma'am.
So
you have a good day there.
You too.
Take care.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
For calling. Bye bye. And that's going to do it for our show today. Before we leave, though, let's remind everybody about the farmers market once again, and that's starting when?
Starting Friday, May 11th at 7 a.m. We're going to be open till noon this year, so you can come out on an early lunch break. And that from that point, May 11th, we'll be open Tuesday, every Tuesday and Friday through October from 7 to 12 noon at the Lane Niagara Park Community Center.
Okay, and this year they're accepting credit cards, debit cards, and EBT cards. Anything else going on between now and next Thursday that people need to know about?
Nose to the grindstone, really getting ready for the market season. So our annual vendor producer meeting is next Tuesday at the AgriPark Community Center. If you have any questions about it, please give us a call if you're interested in selling at the market.
All right. What's that phone number?
It is 898-7710.
Janie Becker visiting with us today right here on WGNS. Tomorrow at this time, we're going to be talking about the 15th Middle Tennessee Bible Reading Marathon. That'll be our conversation tomorrow.